outside thrusters won't stop firing.
I think I'm being followed.
My dad is turning green, like, literally green.
My last nav check put me on Lagrange Point 4.
This is Control, via radio. Keep calm and remain on the guard frequency.
Welcome, pilots. You've tuned to the guard frequency because, as all good pilots know, when you're out in the deep black, you want to keep one ear on the guard. This is episode 473 of the Best Damn Space Game podcast ever recorded on Friday, January 19th, 2024, and made available for download on Tuesday, January 23rd, 2024, over at guardfrequency.com. I'm Jeff.
I'm Ken Shadow.
I'm Henry.
I'm Tony.
Thanks for joining us. If you like what you hear during the show, stick around for the closing to find out how to support us.
What have we got in store this week, Jeff?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Brian, because in this week's Flight Deck, we bring you all the headlines from Simulated Space, including the latest news from Elite Dangerous, Star Citizen, and Starfield.
After that, we continue our audio adventure, Guard Frequency Origins, where things will happen to people and other stuff occurs.
Finally, we open up the feedback loop and let you join in on the fun.
Lace up your booties, campers. It's time to head out to the flight deck.
Speed 175, Port Bay, hands on approach, trigger screen, call the ball.
Don't get technical with me.
Here are the top news bits from the world of space games.
Elite Dangerous unofficially announced that there would be news of a sort soon, TM. Paul Crowther, the last man standing in the Elite Community Manager Shop, wrote on the forums, quote, "If everything goes according to plan, we should be able to share some details of the next stream very soon," end quote. So mark your calendars for something, sometime, that will update us somehow. Maybe the reason for all the precise details in this post is that Frontier announced their guidance for mid-fiscal year 2024. Good news, everyone. All the layoffs went according to plan, and they plan to start making money again in about a year. The stock market cheered the news, causing FDev shares to rise almost five tuppence. Quote, "Frontier is a leading independent developer and publisher of video games founded in 1994 by David Braden, co-author of the iconic Elite game," end quote. So yeah, clearly, we can expect a lot from FDev in the coming months.
Star Citizen released its early access pre-alpha release candidate prototype experimental test build 3.22.0A EPTU.9024200 to the experimental public test universe, which is different from the regular public test universe, which is different from the hotfix server, which is different from the live server, which is different from the Evocati server, which is different from the preview server. With six different servers to choose from, there's a version of Star Citizen that's right for you. Ask your doctor. And in other development news, SIG is trying to implement an instant teleport system for their QA testers, so they don't actually have to fly to problem locations to repro bugs. Seems like that would have been a priority item since, you know, 64-bit precision maps.
Starfield has released a beta version of version 1.9.47.0 for testing. This beta was previously scheduled and then delayed twice, which seems about right for everything Starfield does. The patch contains a number of graphics fixes and improvements, some quest bug fixes, and some ship, skill, and weapon patches. Still no cure for the inventory system, the leveling system, or the Starborn, but the numbering of the beta patch makes us wonder. Are we getting close to the DLC and or the mod support patch? Will those things improve Starfield's reception in the gaming community?
I'll say probably no, because people complain, but I still like Starfield.
Yeah. It seems like they're getting awfully close. That, you know, 1.9 is getting up there, and 47 is halfway to 10, you know, halfway to up. So it seems like they're creeping right up on it. It's a fairly substantial patch. It's not a game changer or anything, and there's nothing in there that's gonna make people immediately decide to start replaying the game. But it is pretty full of patches that could have waited. Honestly, it could have waited until the DLC came around. So I'm just wondering if they're kind of clearing the decks now, and then going to be bringing in the DLC patch pretty shortly after. The timing would be about right. They said it was going to be early 2024. So the timing would be good.
I hope so, because really I haven't visited Starfield for a while now, and I really like to get back to it. But right now there doesn't seem to be a reason to. So
do we think the first DLC will be a sole DLC or something just to keep getting people into it?
They previously announced the DLC as a paid DLC, and so if you bought the special tier package, you got that first one, no extra charge. So that's first on offer, and so if you didn't buy that, you're going to have to pay separately for it. I suspect that there will be a free patch that contains whatever else they're doing to get the DLC patch ready, which kind of made me question what's going on here, because this is the sort of thing that would be included in the, quote, free patch that you would get if you didn't buy the DLC. So I'm just kind of wondering how this is all playing out, because the number version makes me think that the DLC is right around the corner, but the fact that they fixed so much stuff that wasn't necessarily urgent, but, you know, quality of life and annoying bugs and that kind of thing, it makes me wonder if maybe they're actually going to hold off a little bit. There's some tension here that I'm...
Well, it does kind of make sense, because if this is a patch, they want to see how the game plays before they probably release the DLC and want to get some feedback on that, see if there's still bugs and stuff to fix.
Sure.
So,
in one particular instance, I could think why they'd really want to do that, and that's if they actually are making some decent under-the-hood changes, things like the inventory, things like the leveling system. If they're going to make some pretty, you know, major changes to the plumbing, they'd want to get all the little nitpicky mm-hmm. stuff out of the way and make sure that there's not anything going on with that. So that they know whatever they do monkey around with on the DLC patch, it's that. It's not any of these other changes that they've made. So that's the optimistic take. I love this take. I'm hoping that's what it is. But we'll have to see.
I was going to say, regarding the inventory system, what kind of changes are we expecting? I mean, it's basically the same inventory system they had in Skyrim. I don't know why we'd expect them to improve it when they didn't improve that in 10 years of patches.
Yeah, say that one more time, and I think the question contains the answer.
Well, yeah, I mean, do you really want me to repeat it?
No, but I mean...
Okay, because I'm tired and I forgot it.
No, but I mean, yeah, they haven't improved on the inventory system, and man, there's some room for improvement.
Yeah.
Set the Wayback Machine to, you know, a couple weeks after it's the game released, and there was a mod out there that basically made a night and day difference. You know, it calculated the individual amounts and categorized stuff for you nicely and put a lot of that empty real estate on your screen to good use to tell you things about the items in your inventory screen. So, I mean, it was a drastic improvement over the stock version. So,
I mean, even Skyrim modders have modded the inventory system because it's so, terrible.
Yeah, I mean, I again, we're kind of a little bit of a segue here. The DLC should come shortly on the heels of the creation mod, or the creation mod will come shortly on the heels of the DLC, one or the other. I suspect they'll be released fairly close together. They, you know, the basic nuts and bolts of the game shouldn't be something that's the subject of the modders. I mean, give the modders room to run as far as storylines and environments and, you know, pushing the engine to its limits on that stuff. But, you know, basic nuts and bolts things, Bethesda's been in business for 25 years. They should know better. They should do better. But hopefully they'll have some good surprises for us when the DLC comes out. The free patch hopefully will improve some of the plumbing. And this week in Star Citizen news, they're patching one of their 6 servers. Got another little patch. Good for them. This one's the experimental public test universe, which is what you put it on before you put it on the public test universe. Is what you put it on before you go to the live server.
No, I thought it went to Evocati first.
No, Jeff. See, Evocati gets some stuff, but then the experimental public test universe gets other stuff that doesn't need to go to Evocati. And then there's the preview server, which is testing the server meshing stuff. So that's a whole separate thing. They're not testing anything else other than just the server meshing aspect of it. And then there's the hotfix server, which is what they roll out when they're trying to put a quick patch out there that they don't want to put through the rigmarole of Evocati, then experimental PTU, then PTU, and then live. They just shortcut those other three and go straight from hotfix to live. I know this is an audio podcast product, but does anyone need me to make a flowchart, or do we all get that?
Anyone. How about a roadmap?
Roadmap. That's a better idea. We should definitely put a roadmap on this one. Yeah. So we've had many conversations, especially in the context of Elite, where we've often said, hey, a test server would be a great idea. You should have something out there that you should, you know, go on before you go to prime time, right? You can catch some silly bugs and let people really bang on the system a little bit and find where some of the weaknesses are. And, you know, and we'd say, like Star Citizen does, you should do that. And, you know, we were like, I mean, yeah, God forbid that we hold up a CIG as a model for anything. And then CIG just took it like four steps too far. It's like, no, guys, you were doing it fine the way you were before, but now this is, yeah. So
I mean, I applaud them. It is a little confusing, I think, from the number that you have, but you have a lot of choices, and if you really care about which thing is on which server, you can just go on the forums and take a look at the thread. Though I will say that, like, most of the time, from when I look at it, I'm not an Evocati, so if there's an Evocati, I could probably see another server. But most of the time, it's, you know, a regular old schlub. I only ever see two servers. It's typically just the PTU and, like, one of the other things. And the name of that other thing is, you know, changes, you know. Sometimes it's EPTU, sometimes it's, you know, whatever.
Sometimes it's preview when they want to test server meshing. Sometimes it's EPTU when they want to pre-test the PTU.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, you gotta be on top of this.
Honestly, I think these names are really just for them. Like us children that get to play in the sandbox. Like, I don't know if we really need to know what it's called. It's just the thing that lasts less time and then it has the new features in it. So if you want to do the new feature thing, you do the other thing, right? So that's about it.
It's got to have a label on the launcher. You have to put a label on it somewhere.
Well, they got to have a label on the back end, so when they, like, you know, I don't know, trying to figure out what the hell they're fixing.
A piece of masking tape on the rack.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, I only have the three servers on my launcher right now, EPTU, and then the PTU, and then live.
Ah, okay. Yeah, well, I mean,
even though I'm an Evocati, though I don't know, their rules are kind of skewed these days, so.
Yeah, rules? What rules? You're wave one, you're wave three, you're the concierge, whatever. They just recruit you however they feel like. In other news, they're now trying to get an instant teleport system for their QA guys. So when you say, I have a problem on this base, on this moon, they don't have to load up their ship on some other moon or space station and fly their ship there to go check out the location that you have a problem with.
That seems like it shouldn't be hard. Like, I don't understand why that's hard.
It shouldn't be now. It should have been then. Like, a long time ago then.
Look
like
at
when
Brian
they
sigh. Nothing's easy. I know, like what, but still.
No, I agree with Tony, actually. So, like, you know, one of my biggest problems with loading up Star Citizen is travel times, right? And I think especially if you're, like, if you're trying to repro something and you go there and you crash, it's like, okay, now I got another 20 minutes if I want to reproduce that crash, right?
Right, I got to fly for 20 minutes to reproduce the crash I just had. That's not a great way to generate instances, right? That's not a great way of generating experimental data. Yeah, it's and they along. I mean, how long ago was 64-bit precision? That was one of the first things they touted. This was like
6 years
2016, ago. 2015.
Something like that.
They've had these giant solar system-sized maps for going on nearly a decade now. And now they're like, we ought to figure out a way to get our devs and our QA people to be able to just beam to a place quickly and not have to fly there.
Well, I honestly think they should just put the spawn locations in some place that's close by, right? So that you just come into the place that, you know, of the thing that you're trying to fix. Instead of, you know, like, you know, with pretty much any of these universes, right, you pick your spawn location, you get stuck on some planet or whatever, and some of them are easier to get off than other ones, and then you got to spawn your ship and yada, yada, yada. If they just could put, you know, like, a bangle that everybody spawns from, you know, above, you know, the moon that they're testing and trying to do fighter stuff on or whatever the case may be, that would even be more helpful. But still, the the travel times for testing and the travel times for doing anything at all are hard, and they're just orders of magnitude more complicated if you're running into problems where you're actually, you know, losing your state in the process.
I do have a little counterpoint of that, though. It wouldn't be for me, but I people get used to things like this in testing, and the expectation afterwards is probably a lot of people go, well, where's my, well, you do it in testing, why can't you do it in the real live game kind of thing? So
yeah, why not?
I agree. I mean, I
should have the capability.
I mean, they've made it better, you know, like, you know, in a normal game, if you're not crashing all the time, then you can like log off on a bed, right, kind of a thing. But still, it's still not great.
Yeah. It just when I saw that, it kind of boggled my mind that just seems like that instant teleport thing, beam me to these coordinates or whatever, or spawn me at location at this location or this base or this point of interest. You know, that you know, if I have a problem with a base on this moon, I should be able to spawn at base on that moon. The game should know what it is, and as me as a dev should be able to just say, I want to go to there.
Right.
And pop it in. But so, yeah, here, yeah, what, 2024.
What's the mechanism here? Is this like a slash command in the tilde menu or something like that? Is that?
It's not anything yet.
What are they say what they're going to be doing?
No. They just said we're looking into it.
Yeah, I you know, when taxis got implemented in Elite Dangerous, like that was like the biggest feature ever in my opinion. And
that's great. It is great.
I think that Star Citizen really needs space taxis.
Space taxis are awesome. Definitely. One final other little bonus bit of news. Don't worry if you missed out on the golden license promotion for the F8C or the giveaway, the other giveaway for the, or the other thing for the F8C. I think it was during the IAE thing. Don't worry. They're bringing the golden license thing back because nothing makes people want to spend $300 like telling them, don't miss out on your chance to spend $300. It's a limited time offer that will never be seen again until 2 months from now. So
until we need more money.
Yeah. Apparently that worked out great. So there, you know, nothing succeeds like success. So doing it again.
It seems like every other ship sale they've ever had.
Oh, this one's different. You have to get a golden license first, and then you can have the privilege of spending $300. It's very different. This is a unique and exclusive opportunity just for you, Brian.
Sounds so different.
Particularly asinine situation. I kind of hate it.
No, we dissected it thoroughly a few months ago, so we won't retread it too much now. Other than to let everybody know, apparently it works. So they're doing it again. And let's talk a little bit about Elite Dangerous. They had their financial stuff out, and it was, as predicted, not great, not good. But it was not great and not good in exactly the right way. This is what I mean by a well-managed company. They have delivered the bad news in the kind of tone that breeds confidence in the marketplace. Like, you are screwing this up exactly how you're supposed to. Good job, everybody. You're doing it by the book, by the numbers. Well done. Let's reward you by an 8% increase in your stock price, which is how it works. You know, we are losing a ton of money. We're not going to make any money for at least another 6 months, probably more like a year. We're firing all of our people, and all that institutional knowledge is going out the door, never to return. And we're bleeding cash. So, what do we say, everybody? And everyone's like, oh, sign me up for that business. I need a piece of that action. So
these boys have a plan. Doesn't matter. The house is on fire.
So to be fair, that's exactly what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to take a big whomping loss, fire a bunch of people, tell people your new plan and that your new plan is on track. And then you give a self-imposed deadline on when that plan is going to get traction, right? They followed the order by the numbers, by the book. They did it exactly how they're supposed to do. Let's see if that comes true. But you know, they talked a good game, and they were rewarded appropriately by getting a 10 pence bump in their stock price. So good job, guys. Well done.
10 pence. So you have tuppence in the
five
copy.
Tuppence. Five tuppence.
What, tuppence or two pence?
Tuppence is two pence.
I didn't know that.
Yes. I think it was like the 8.78 pence or 9.78 pence or something like that was the actual bump. So I just rounded it to five tuppence.
These words are just like total gibberish to me.
It's a tenth of a guinea quid.
It's not real money, though, right? That sounds like British money or something silly.
It's British money. It's British. It's
play money.
I could play the song from Mary Poppins.
Mary Poppins. That's what I was... The whole time he's thinking, I'm thinking, I don't want to sing the Mary Poppins.
That's where it comes from, yeah. Feed the birds. Tuppence in a bag.
Yep.
So there we go. So that's the big news from the financial side of things. And in there, Elite was mentioned once, describing who David Braben was. So... You know, as we've been saying ever since the whole they're getting ready to lay off people, the news came out back in October or November. We were saying like Elite does not figure large in their turnaround plan. We'll be grateful and lucky, and I think it's likely that they just keep the lights on and don't mess with it too much. Having said that, Paul Crowther, the lone surviving community manager, now that we've lost Sally and the other folks whose names escape me at the moment, mostly Sally. I miss Sally already. Paul's out there saying, well, we're going to be able to give you some details of the live stream soon. Not, of course, what's in the live stream. He'll just be able to tell us that there will or won't be a live stream and perhaps when that might be.
Riveting.
So, yeah. So baby steps. First, that there will be a live stream. And then perhaps at some point later on down the road, we'll be able to find out what that is, what it will contain.
Well, I'm glad to hear that Elite has a plan to not change literally anything in the how they communicate with their audience.
Yeah. That's reason for my optimism, I think, right? I mean, this is literally sort of a no news is good news situation,
business,
right?
Business
as usual. See, the story goes that's how Deep Space Nine got away with all the things it did back in the day on Star Trek.
Oh, yeah?
Is everyone's so worried about Voyager in the movies that they just like, you just, as long as your numbers come in fine, Deep Space Nine, on your budget, we just, whatever, you just do your thing. Like, keep your head down, do your business, nobody bothers you. So let's do that. We'll do that for 3 or 4 years, and maybe then we'll come around, our turn will come around again for some serious development money.
So what you're saying is that Elite Dangerous is going to get grittier. They're going to randomly move babies between characters, and they're going to at least have a point where one of their main characters has a psychotic break, and this is all going to be fine while they're throwing gasoline around and setting their house on fire.
Yes, I think that's exactly the case. I mean, all they have left is narrative shock, right? I mean, that's the tool in the toolkit that they have, you know, the resources to exploit. President Hudson's going to have a baby with the Emperor.
What is going to be their attention Bajoran workers moment, really?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. The whole bunch of the Imperial people are slavers. There's a couple of pirates that could do naughty things. I mean, you know, it's a juicy world they've got set up there. They just don't do anything with it. So there we go. I mean, that's definitely on the menu. You know, random weird narrative twists and turns. And then I think the last little bit of news ish is that we have, I think, officially gone into content drought season. I mean, they said
we haven't already been there for a while.
The thing about a content drought and regular droughts in general is you don't know when they're going to end, right? Like I think that's really the truly defining characteristic of any kind of drought, be it content or actual rain droughts. Update 18 has been rumored. It's been opined about, it's been assured, I guess, that it's coming, right? It hasn't been yanked or pulled or canceled, and even one of the devs who got laid off said, I can't wait for you guys to see this cool thing that we made for Update 18. So, I mean, there is something that they can release and call it Update 18. Perhaps that we'll find out on the stream that will eventually be scheduled at some point. That would be great. That's nice. But if I were them, I would not put out update 18 this fiscal year, because they've already said we are going to suck balls for the rest of this year. That was part of their speech, their update they gave to the marketplace, which rewarded them with a bump in their stock price.
Yeah, I wouldn't have said it that way.
Yeah, I was about to say.
They didn't say that. I mean, this is my translation. I translated it from the British.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, I translated it from the British. This is American paraphrasing. Yeah. They said something to the effect of, we're going to suck balls for the rest of this year.
Once again, I doubt it.
I'm sorry, Tony.
They're not going to return. They said we're going to return to profitability in fiscal year 2025. Fiscal year 2025 does not start until June 2024. And they don't report those numbers until November 2024. So, update 18, if I were them, would not go out until June 2024 at the earliest, because you want those positive uptick numbers to come so you can report it at the end of 2024, halfway through fiscal year 2025, so you can point at it and said, remember when we told you we were going to return to profitability? Well, we sold a bunch of units of Elite Dangerous because we have this awesome update 18. So even if they don't come out and say that, if there's going to be any kind of revenue bump from an update to Elite Dangerous, they're going to want that recorded on the next fiscal year, not this one. They're not going to, I don't think they're going to do anything special this fiscal year, because that would mess up any sort of boost or bonus they could possibly get from the 2025 revenues. So
I don't know how they would bump revenues with Elite Dangerous doing much of anything. It's, they're at a point with Elite, in my opinion, where what more can they do, right? Like, they've added ground stuff. They've got everything that they can add and still be Elite. If they start adding, like, what are they going to do next, right?
Should we just go through our list again?
Well, no, it's not about that. It's just,
carrier interiors, ship interiors, mission packs,
stuff that we're not
going to
get. Stuff that we're not going to get.
Right. But we've thrown out a million great money-making ideas, and they don't take any single one of them.
I don't know. Maybe it's just me feels like their time has passed. That's all. Because I feel like if you're waiting on them to make a move on Elite in another year, all that is another year of audience deterioration, right? And they're not going to come back to a 10-year-old game when so much new stuff is coming out. And the tech is honestly better. I mean, you got seamless landing on planets in a lot of games now. You know, you don't... Well, in a lot of games coming up, in a lot of... There's a lot of indie games and stuff like that where that's happening. It's not... Yeah. It's not just...
It's not the same.
I don't know. I don't think they have anything that's super unique anymore, except for the, like, VR experience.
Which, you know, they're not really fully supporting anymore. So
right. I mean, we've said this many times before, but I think Elite should be in a stable of Elite games that all work together to grow the brand. Like, Elite shouldn't be, oh, it's just Elite Dangerous, this one game, right? Like, why aren't they doing like 10 different things with this branding and like building like this huge community around this stuff?
It's got a 40-year pedigree. Right. I mean, someone ought to be we'll just go ahead and just drop this in as yet another money making, you know, thing. Someone ought to be taking a money making a pedigree of this nature and turned into some kind of money machine. And even if it starts off with like 8 substandard crap products like mobile mini games and stupid, you know, knockoffs, whatever, to start throwing some things against the wall and see what sticks. Planet Dangerous would stick. I'm hoping that's one of the CMS games that they have planned. Planet Dangerous, I think, would sell. They said they're pivoting to that. I would applaud a Planet Dangerous, but I think that they need to start throwing some things against the wall and see what sticks. Yeah, they shut down their foundry. Yeah, they're trying to refocus their energies on their core competencies, which are CMS games. That's great. One day, when they have extra money, they need to make something out of this decades-long valuable IP that even to this day, they still put in the founder's byline in their reports. It's not important enough to hang their hats on like they're going to make money off of it, but to this day, they still identify David Braben as the guy that created Elite. That's got to count for something, and they need to find a way to turn that into fake British tuppence and guinea quids.
Tuppence a bag.
Okay, buddy, what's on your mind?
We're all friendlies! So let's just be friendly!
Some say he swallowed a dragon's egg he found in stagnant jungle water, and after reviewing the colonoscopy, he knew he had a taped worm. But all I know is he's called the shiv, and he'll put together this week's feedback. Okay. It's on videotape, and he reviewed the colonoscopy. Yeah.
Recap of last week's community questions.
Wait, we're just gonna gloss over that.
We're gonna gloss over that.
I don't know what to think about that one. You know what?
It works.
It's
where did tape come from?
I got a chuckle out of it.
You reviewed the colonoscopy, so they routinely videotape the colonoscopy so they can go back and.
Can I be willing to bet it's a digital file, not a tape these days? Know, the only people still recording to tape is us.
It's a stretch. But it's so stupid, I can't argue with it.
And if we try to change it to, like Henry saying, like digital file, we miss out on the tape worm. We miss that. It has to be tape. So
I find the whole premise to be kind of silly. I mean, what are the chances he really found a dragon's egg?
How would he swallow it?
He's a very small dragon. I don't know. Okay, Jeff, we're done.
Okay. Recap of last week's community questions. Community question one.
I can't even swallow a whole chicken egg.
Did we sell Void Crew to you? Are you playing it right now? If not, why not? Community question two. If EvDev would give overlays proper support, what would you like on your HUD that isn't there already?
Anchovies. All right. Strife's writes in and says, for Ken Shadow, number one, A, yes, apparently we sold Void Crew to him. B, no, he's not playing it right now. And C, I'm working right now, which is, I guess, his excuse for not actually playing the game. Yes. For community question two, it's probably too late for this to matter. Maybe two or more years ago, it might have helped spur the community-driven updates that caused interest and retention for ED. Ideally, if this was to have happened, it would have happened when ED was being adopted by players, not after it's been abandoned. I guess what I'm saying is it would be too little too late at this point. Okay. I mean,
maybe.
I don't think it's definitely not going to drive new players. I think I agree with that. I think it would, you know, it might pull some people back in, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah. If your favorite game loop gets easier, you might be like, well, I'll go do that for a little while. So,
Sean Newboy writes in, excellent show, everyone. Great job. Community question one, not even close. I just don't spend the money that way these days.
Void Crew is, it's pretty good. Void Crew is good. It's real fun. Strong recommend. Ken from Chicago writes in and says, community question one, no, it's hard for me to schedule time for three friends who'd be interested in playing. Community question two, I haven't played, so don't know enough about what should be on the HUD. Well, Ken, we have a special channel in our Discord called Void Crew, and if you want, I can add you to the list called Void Crewers that people will ping when they want someone to play with. So if you want to do that, just post up in the Void Crew channel that you would like to be added to that list. And so the call will occasionally go out for people looking for a game. So problem solved. That invitation goes to anybody who's listening. Just pop into the Void Crew channel, we'll add you to the list.
Rebel writes in, good show, guys. Never heard of Void Crew, but def going to check it out and see if I can get any of my mates to go suck up some meat tubes. Misses?
Yeah, that's suck on some meat tubes, Jeff. That's the way that phrase goes. Suck on some meat tubes.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Definitely something you should talk to your mates about.
Yes, and your misses. Your misses should probably be involved in that as well.
Okay.
In general feedback, Strife writes again and says, oh man, Void Crew is awesome. It's just too bad when you are the scrapper and the pilot won't let you go outside for a walk. If you find yourself in the situation, be sure to complain to the pilot about it. Mass show, guys. Keep it up. Thanks, Strife.
Yes, Strife was the scavenger on one run. And the thing is, if the pilot, which is usually me, isn't holding the ship still, you can find yourself floating in the void of space, never to be rescued ever again. And then you have to go through the meat tube. So it's sort of like for his own good, I said, don't go outside. And he listened to me, but complained about it a lot. So that's where that goes in.
As one would.
Yes. Remember, Strife, Tony is a dick.
Right. And also remember that just like in the Void Crew, that reminded me a lot of this podcast, where I tell you guys to do something for your own good, and eventually you go along with it, because it's just probably a smarter idea. So I feel like my experience here at the podcast translates well into Void Crew situations. I feel like I get a lot of practice on that. Also, being a dick, like Jeff was saying, that helps too. Via Hero writes in and says, "Hey guys, great show as usual, and I'll be checking out Void Crew. It indeed sounds like lots of fun. Also, here's a bit of general feedback with regard to Tony's worries about the net position thingy and Calder money. It just bugs the hell out of me. You don't take $68 million and stick it in a bank account at 2% interest." Oh, that's me. That's a quote from me. He says, "The probable reason why CIG is showing the net position table in that way, with the Calder money mostly intact, is to show to players that all the Calder money that was promised only for launch marketing purposes, not for development. Oh, no. CIG always said they would never be beholden to investors. All that money is still earmarked for launch marketing purposes. It has, quote, 'Chris wants it to be shown this way,' end quote, all over it. Now, regarding the Calder investments, the real question is, how do we think the Calders are getting their return? As Tony correctly suggests, they have many more and better avenues to get returns rather than putting money in a bank account at 2%. There are a few options here. Number one, the way the net position table and the rest of the cost-related tables in the financial blog are laid out can lead a reader to believe that the Calders are actually not getting any return at all, other than the eventual appreciation of the shares they bought in the first place. Like any regular old shareholder in a publicly traded company, this would be the option most backers probably would want to believe. Now, given CIG shares are not publicly traded or easily sold, and given the riskiness of the venture, I personally strongly suspect Calders would want something more for putting in their money in such a deal. Number two, regular returns of some sort in an angel investment like the Calders have undertaken. It's not uncommon for investors to strike deal for 20 or even 30% internal rate of return within the first 3 years. Just as a side note, I've always said they wanted their money back in 3 to 5 years. That would do it. He goes on to say, some studies indicate angel investment gets up to 2 to 3 times total cash return on their investment in an average of 3 to 4 years. Side note, damn. Now we have no sign of these returns in the blog unless they're hidden in any of the different cost categories, other game dev costs, overheads, or publishing, or whatever. Number three, share buyback option. This would allow the Calders to force CIG to buy back their shares at a pre-established price that would presumably yield a reasonable return compared to option two above. If there are no regular returns hidden in the cost figures, then this option three could perhaps be more likely than the true one. Options two and three would work similar to a loan, in fact, and it could be subject to deferrals or refinancing for the exercise of the returns or the buyback option in exchange of an increased pre-agreed share buyback price or other types of returns. But since the CIG financial blog does not even have a basic balance sheet to show any liabilities, we would never know about this until the buyback or returns happens. I guess I could have skipped all of that. I mean, probably a lot of people fell asleep. All of it's really good, though, so you should definitely pay attention to it. But that's, yeah, Via Hero's bottom line here is right. All those things are possible, even probable, but we'll never, ever know.
Sneaky. Ken from Chicago writes in general feedback, "Sorry, Tony, but after many weeks of being right, I'm afraid you're wrong and Jeff's right." Jeez, that always works out to be the case.
You would have to be the one to have broken my streak, Jeff. It's only you.
Yep. "While each of the Guard Frequency team can be considered a cornerstone of the podcast, but the cornerstone is the first and oldest stone placed in a structure and the standard by which other cornerstones are measured. And I believe we all know who the oldest member of the podcast." Okay.
So it's not the Some Say. The Some Say is not the bedrock or the keystone.
Right.
It's Jeff.
Yep.
Oh, I thought he was going to say Lennon.
He's not the oldest by a long stretch of the imagination. Yeah. No.
"Great job, Henry, asking the basic underlying questions and not making assumptions about accounting, coding, Tony's theories, etc. Jeff was right. In the far future, collecting samples for study, if not done by drones, would have devices to tell you how far apart and what type of areas to collect random samples."
Benu writes in and says, "Thanks, I enjoyed the show. I don't have anything for the community questions, though. Get well soon. As for the clear finance signals from SIG, The only ones I really expect are ship sales, playable content releases, Squadron 42, Star Citizen PU patches, and the one I haven't seen yet, 404 errors when the websites get taken down because the bills aren't paid. Everything else is just happy talk to keep wallets open. Thanks, Benu.
Well, that certainly would be a sign.
And some more canon general feedback. Oh my god, you're kidding me.
Nope. I especially want to thank Henry for asking me specifically to sort of change the order of how the feedback was going to be read, because he's feeling tired tonight, didn't want any long feedbacks, and so it just so happened that changing the order around made this possible. So take it away when you're ready, Jeff.
Guard frequency, you should return from your space places. Your lonely home base is feeling forlorn, and space, a large place. Oh no, I just can't squeeze it. Maybe it's been a while since I remember this tune, but it's not working for me.
You want me to William Shatner it? I'll take over and William Shatner it.
Okay,
for you.
You William Shatner.
Right, I'm gonna Rocket Man this thing. You guys ready?
This is
ready?
From Kent from Chicago for the audience, just to let you guys know what this is.
Yeah, it's good. Here we go. Here's William Shatner. Here's William Shatner version of it. Guard frequency. You should return from space places, your homely lone bases. Feeling forlorn. And space is a large place, and you've got your reasons, but the worlds that you're seeing can hurt you somehow. Don't you land on those gas giants, boy, they'll crush you if they're able. Earth-like worlds, you know, are always your best bet. Now, it seems to me some fine worlds have been laid upon your table, but you only want to land where you can't get. Guard frequency. Well, you ain't getting no younger. Home base and your hunger, they're calling you home. And podcast. Oh, podcast. That's just four people talking. Your prison is walking through space all alone.
Bravo.
Thanks. Well done. If you can't get the tune right, just Rocket Man the thing and you're in shape.
Sean Newboy writes in, some say this show has over an hour of some says. Excellent choice. Off topic for this week, but has anyone else in Starfield had to unlock a dung pile? No, I have not. No. I typically leave the dung piles unlocked. Why lock up the dung pile? What's he talking about?
I have no idea, but I'm curious to know how this question originated, so perhaps we'll get a backstory someday.
Send us a screenshot, Sean Newboy, of your... It better be a screenshot and not like a Polaroid, because that would be weird.
Yeah, that would raise questions that we don't want to answer or have answered. Yeah. Starfield screenshot, please. And this week's community questions. Is a great DLC just the thing Starfield needs to reclaim a little bit of the shine that Bethesda's lost? Or are they going to need a whole new version of Skyrim? And will we see Update 18 before June 2024, or will FDev hold that back until they decide to make money again in 2025? And otherwise, how is the show? Is it a quaint and curious volume of forgotten lore, or is darkness there and nothing more? We welcome your comments over at guardfrequency.com and discord.guardfrequency.com.
You can also reach us on Twitter at GuardFreak. Your feedback is an important part of what we do, so hit us up and tell us what's on your mind.
If you like what you hear, you can subscribe to our shows at feeds.guardfrequency.com or by searching for us on iTunes.
And if you're not doing anything Friday nights, then you should come join us at 10:30 p.m. Central as we record Guard Frequency live over at twitch.tv/guardfreak.
Do you like what we do? Want to help us make the best damn space game podcast ever? You can always support the show by visiting our website, clicking on the Patreon logo, and becoming a regular subscriber.
We want to thank all of our Patreons who support us week on week. We hope you'll consider joining them, because the more support we get, the better show we can make.
And money's great, but don't forget to spread the word about us to your wingmates.
And that brings us to the end of episode 473 of Guard Frequency. We'll be back with episode 474 on January 30th, 2024, so be sure to keep an ear out for our shows over at guardfrequency.com.
We want to thank the entire team at Guard Frequency and the Priority One Network. Thanks to our community manager, Justin Chivalry Bean Lowmaster, our senior art director, Ben Wingamanga Sanders, and of course, our audio architects, Mikey, Bill Hardy, Akrosi, Strife, and Wotherspoon.
Thanks to our syndication partner, The Bass, and special thanks to Ronald Jenkins for his permission to use his music in our show. Visit ronaldjenkins.com for more of his work. But above all, we especially want to thank you folks for tuning in. If no one's listening out there, the deep black gets pretty lonely.
Reduce thrust. Tap 2330, tower 15. Squawk 7700. Stay on the ground.
Of the next steam.
Oh, sorry, that should be stream. My bad.
I just read the copy as it's written.
I know. There was a typo. That was my fault.
But mostly importantly,
I kind of hate you, Tony, for putting this long string of numbers.
You really should. You really, really should.
So let's see how many takes this takes.
There's one.
Fuck you, Henry.
Nope.
What did I miss? Did I miss a number?
Experimental public test universe.
Balls.
Go ahead and start that. That's three on the counter, Henry. Go ahead and put up three.
I'm counting.
To the experimental test. Oh, my God.
That's four.
Experimental public test universe. Experimental public test universe. How many takes was that, Henry?
Only four. I mean, you got it on the fifth.
You got it on the fifth.
Got it on the fifth. Yeah, not bad.
Not bad. It's been worse. We've seen worse.
You've definitely seen worse.
This is Tony, Flight Deck Segment Bravo Sync 1.
Favorite movie, Wrath of Khan.
Bravo Sync 2.
This is Ken Shadow, Flight Bravo Sync 3, but I can't, unfortunately cannot say that Wrath of Khan is disappointing.
No, I thought you said favorite movie.
I know, I was going to say it was just keep going.
Will you too?
This is Henry Sync 4, Flight Deck B.
Thanks, very good. Well done. Playing well with others today.
Tony's a tyrant.
No, Tony's a dick.
That's right. Flight Deck in 3, 2.
Ken Shadow, Feedback Sync 3.
This is Henry, Feedback Sync 4.
Now, Henry's tired, but Ken Shadow, what's your excuse?
Allergies.
All right. I'm going to need a little more, though.
Ken
For
Shadow,
the intro
Feedback
Sync?
What the f***?
Yeah, sink. I'm going to need a little more.
Feedback will light up your face. Let's do this.
Yeah.
That's see, what I'm talking about. Tony's a dick.
Well, that's your motivational phrase, Jeff. Okay. All right,
Tony,
here we
next
go.
Time
feedback.
You count us in, I need you to have a little more oomph on that.
Suck my fat feedback, bitch.
Some say he swallowed a dragon's egg he found in a stagnant... Oh, sorry. I already messed it up. Beep, beep. And will we see update 18 before June 2024? Or will FDev hold that back until... Blah, blah, blah. And will we see update 18 before June 2024, or will? There you go, Bill. There's a couple for you. And otherwise, how was the show? Is it a quaint and curious volume of forgotten lore, or is it darkness there and nothing more? No. Shiv got a hold of this. I had a perfectly reasonable question thing here, and then Shiv went and changed it. Fine. I don't remember what I wrote earlier.
Quoth the Raven.
Nevermore. Nevermore.
I mean, I guess this is a hoist on my own petard moment because he's forever complained about me messing with the some say. So I guess this is just desserts.
You're going to talk about your petard on the podcast, Tony.
I'll talk about my petard wherever I want.
If you like what you hear, you can subscribe to our shows at shows. Don't touch my showed.
No, 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 no. Henry's laughing, which means it's bad. No, 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 no.
Yeah. Sorry, let me stop. If you like what you hear, you can subscribe to our shows at feeds.guardfrequency.com or by searching for us.
Henry's still laughing and making Kid Shadow laugh. Oh, Bill, he's going to be a treasure trove this week.
He said, Chode.
The bloopers are going to be longer than the closing. It's going to be great. You made it. Good job.
Barely. You better suck my fat feedback, bitch.